Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Now, greetings, radio friends. This is the Redemption Time broadcast on this December 24th. 2024, Christmas Eve. Going to have a story about the Christmas story today. That'll be our message. And I realize it's familiar. I know it's been told over and over and over, but it never gets old. And every year we're reminded and have to be renewed and remember just what he did, what he went through, what he suffered, and first thing he did was he came to this world in the body of a baby laid in a manger, because there was no place. Even from his very birth, he was rejected. Men are still rejecting him, much to their regret one day. But we do know that that's the way it is. But I do want to ask you to stay with us. We will be getting into that in just a little bit. First of all, I'd like to announce our church announcements. Sunday mornings at 9:45, we have Sunday school. 10:45, morning worship. 6 o'clock at Sunday night. 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And then beginning January the 5th and running through the 8th, we will be having our winter revival. So, this morning I don't have any Christmas music. I'm sorry. I might can find something, but won't be exactly what you're thinking. But it'll be Christmas music anyway. And we just want to invite you to stay as we start from the very first time that Jesus' birth was announced or predicted or prophesied until his appearance in Bethlehem around 2,000 years ago. So as we go now, I trust that you'll stay with us, and we'll be back in a minute. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this great season that we're in. Thank you for this day and the day that we celebrate, the day before the Lord Jesus Christ born into this world there in Bethlehem. Lord, we thank you for the season. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for him coming. We thank you for his sacrifice and for the salvation that he offers through him today. Pray, Lord, you bless this audience. Make this a great day and a great day tomorrow for the folks listening. I pray, Lord, you bless all of those that are with their family and bless those especially that can't be with their family. Lord, I pray that you will help those that are sick and need your help. Lord, I pray your will be done with each one of them. Most of all, Lord, if nobody has ever been heard the gospel and needs to be saved, I pray, Lord, that the message of your coming will stir their heart to understand what a lowly beginning you had, only to suffer the things that you did, to be crucified on a cruel cross, to die, and then to be resurrected, also that we could be saved. It's about you, Lord. It's not about the presence. It's not about the glitter. It's not about any of these things. It's about you. Help us to understand that and to convey that thought. Lord, my prayer is that you'll save some soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at the story of Jesus, it actually begins way back in the book of Genesis. At the very beginning, when Eve had been deceived by Satan, the serpent, and had taken of the forbidden fruit, and thereby had sinned. And God was speaking to the serpent, speaking to the devil, and he said that the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man, the seed of the woman, he said, he's going to come and you'll bruise his heel, but he'll bruise your head. That was the very first reference to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the fact that he said he'll be the seed of a woman was the very first prediction that he would be born of a virgin. There was no human man involved in his birth. Oh, I know this is something that modern day science says is impossible. It would be with us, with men. It's something that by and large is rejected by society today. But can I say to you that if he wasn't born of a virgin, then none of us have any hope. If he died as a common man in sin as we are, he's nothing more than another dead Jew. However, he is the Son of God. He came here in a miraculous manner, which I'm going to read to you about. Down through the ages, the prophets prophesied different ones, different aspects of his coming. It was prophesied of his death. Psalm chapter 22 is a graphic illustration and an explanation of the things he suffered on the cross. And so we find that many places throughout the Bible he's spoken of, and we know he was coming. So the story of Jesus' birth is not found in one chronological arrangement, for you have to look in different places to get different aspects of his birth and to know exactly how it was. Now, there are four Gospels. These were the accounts given by the disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one of them presents Christ as a different theme, in a different manner. Some aspect of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is given by each and every one of them. So, the book of Matthew presents with his theme, Christ the King. Mark presents him with his theme of Christ the Servant. Luke, the physician, presents him to us as Christ the Man. And then John, his theme is he presents him to us as Christ in his deity. Now, only two of these Gospels record his birth. The first one, of course, being Matthew. Matthew was written for the Jews. And Matthew starts his book off giving you the genealogy of Jesus. Well, in order to present him as the king, which is what Matthew does, a king had to prove his genealogy. And it was predicted that he would be a son of David. And so if you start with Abraham and work your way down, you'll find that he is in the lineage of both David and Abraham. And so we find that Matthew, in presenting him as the king, must present his genealogy. If you study the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, you'll see that the genealogy in the Jewish people, in the Jewish society, is very important. There were certain privileges and things that were the Jews enjoyed that nobody else could. And so in order to be accepted as a Jew, one had to prove his genealogy. There were some priests in those days with Ezra and Nehemiah. And when the books were searched to find out, they could not prove their genealogy, and so they were excluded. So we find that Matthew is exploring his genealogy to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt who he was and who his lineage was. So that's why Matthew gives an account of his birth. Although he does start with a genealogy. Before he can talk about the king, he's got to prove that he is a king. Then, the next one is Mark. Mark's theme is Christ the servant. Mark doesn't give a genealogy for Jesus. And he doesn't talk about his birth. Because a servant does not need a genealogy. He doesn't have anything to prove. He doesn't have to prove his bloodline to be a servant. Therefore, Mark does not give a genealogy. Luke, being a physician, would naturally be interested in the details of his birth, and therefore he gives them. But Luke presents him as Christ the man. You see, Jesus was all man, and he was all God. He was the God-man. He had two sides to him. There was the human side, and there was the deity. The human side never overrode the deity. And the human side was free of the sin that you and I inherited by birth. But Luke is presenting him as the man, then he must present his birth. Because to be a man, to be just a man on the earth, he had to have a birth. And Luke, being a physician, he was interested in giving the details of that birth. And that's what he does. And when we start getting into the actual story, the account of how Jesus was born, that's where we'll start. And then last of all, there's John. And John's theme was Christ in his deity. John's chapter 1, verse 1 starts off, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." So, we find that John doesn't give a genealogy because, as far as God is concerned, being God, being the deity of God, the God part of him, there was no birth. Now, notice what it said. In the beginning, in the very beginning, was the Word. In the beginning, the Word already was. It transcends eternity. In the beginning, the word was, past tense, already existed. Therefore, there is no birth needed for his existence. He's a deity. He's God. He's always existed. Therefore, there is no birth needed. So let's look at what is said about his birth. As the man, his birth must be recorded. Luke chapter 2, and we'll start reading with verse 1. Now, I do want to tell you that before this, that, well, maybe not. Maybe we'll go somewhere else. Maybe we'll look at a different account first. Here it is. Yeah, let's start with Matthew instead. Over in Matthew, chapter 1, and beginning with verse number 18. It said, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. So we find that here was this little virgin girl espoused to Joseph to be married. And a espousal in those days was the same bylaws and the same rules as being married. And in reality, if that had been noised abroad, if Joseph had been willing to make a public example of her, she could have been stoned. But he wasn't willing to do that, and so he said he was just going to put her away privately, and he wasn't going to say anything about it because he didn't want any harm to come to her. But it said, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So if you go back and find the account of the angel appearing to Mary, I don't have time to cover it all. But he told her, he said, that you're going to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and you're going to bring forth this child. So then when it was discovered that she was going to have a child, Joseph is going to put her away. God appeared to him and said, Joseph, what that child that she's carrying is the child that was conceived by the Holy Ghost overshadowing her. It's of God. And so Joseph, believing that, married her, saved her from the shame and stoning and all of those things. And so he then did do that. And that is how that she became the wife of Joseph. But her child was the Son of God. Luke gives us a little better account. It said in chapter 2, verse 1, And it came to pass in those days, now it's time for her to be delivered, and there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see these things, or this thing, which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So here we find the story of how it was when Jesus' birth occurred. They were doing a taxation, or a census. Some people call it a census. But each one had to go back to his original country of or the place where he was born to be counted. And since Joseph was from there, he had to go back to Bethlehem. And when they got there, it was time for her to be delivered, but they found that there was no room left in the inn. No place for them to spend the night. I believe that was an omen that started that in this world, he would be largely rejected by the world. And even still today, there's no room in the hearts for men for the Lord Jesus Christ. Although he stands and knocks and would come in and wants to save people, there's just no room for him. There is no welcome for him. He is still largely rejected. And he's turned away from the heart's door time and time again. And we find then that since this was the case, they allowed him to stay in the stable. Now, I come from a very poor family. I was raised in extreme poverty. And I've often thought many times about how things were when I was growing up. But I can tell you this, as poor as we were, and as poor as some of the other parts of our family were, none of us was bad enough that we were ever born in a stable. I was born at our home, and I had a doctor. There was a doctor present. And so, as we think about it, here is a man that can identify with us no matter who we are or where we come from. I don't care how disadvantaged you are. I don't care how much you have been disallowed, how much you've been denied the good things of this world. No matter what people think about you, no matter where you came from, no matter who your family was, God has been there. Jesus has been there. And he's been in places even that we have never been. Jesus knows what it's like to be poor. And so we find that he grew up, and as he grew in favor with God. He, at a very young age, they went to Jerusalem, and on their way back, Joseph and Mary discovered he had been left behind when they went back. He, as a young boy, was sitting in the temple teaching at that time. And I'm sure that they were chiding him about, "You have worried us to death. What in the world are you doing?" And he had a very strange, to them, reply. He said, "Didn't you know, or wished you not, that I would be about my father's business?" His father was not Joseph. His father was none other than God the Father. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He came to this earth for one purpose. The Bible said that he set his face like a flint towards Calvary. Or excuse me, towards Jerusalem, which ended up being the place that he was tried, convicted wrongfully, and was sentenced to death. The man that sentenced him to death said, "I find no fault in him." And yet, from this lowly beginning, born in a manger, he will one day wear the King of Kings crown. He will be the King of Kings. He will be the Lord of Lords. Matthew had the right, was on the right trail of where Jesus is going. He will come again. He will claim his own. He will be crowned Lord of all. He will stand at the judgment seat and judge his people for their stewardship since they've been saved. And then he'll be a witness at the great white throne judgment. Because, friend, if you've never known him as your personal Savior, he'll be a witness against you. They've never come to me. They've never confessed their sin. They've never asked me to come into their heart and be saved. Friend, we're all going to a judgment somewhere. You're either going to the judgment seat of Christ as a child of God, or you're going to the great white throne only to be cast into a burning lake of fire. I encourage you at this Christmas season to think about the greatest gift ever given, the gift that God gave us of his Son, who lived, died, was resurrected, and today says, "Come unto me, all you who labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He's willing to give you that rest this very day. Would you just bow your heart, ask him to save you, confess your sin? I know on the authority of God's word, he'll do that.